listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Anything good that can come out of hardships that you might be going through? Is there anything good in that? I'm here to say out of the gate this morning, yep, yes, there is good that can come out of hardships. And you're going to hear me say this time and time again this morning, but everybody in this room, are you breathing? Everybody in this room at this moment is going through some kind of trial in your life. And we're going to try to make sense of that this morning. Okay? Take your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to look at a couple verses, actually three verses, 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to be reading out of the New English Standard Version this morning. So track with me. And the writer to the Hebrews says this, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" We could put in there sons and daughters, okay? It's not limited to a gender. It says here, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" When your life gets hard and things get difficult, I want you to remember this little line. It is for a purpose. It is for a purpose. Trials and difficult times in the life of a Christian are an opportunity to find out how big our God is. God can and he will use trials in the life of unbelievers. And that is largely for the purpose of pointing people to the Lord himself. A trial can be small and it can be irritating, or it can be huge and almost shattering when it comes to our life. And I'm sure each of you this morning may have experienced these kinds of circumstances at some point in your life. One can take you by storm, fast and furiously, altering your life forever. Speaking of storms, the folks in Central Florida, how many know their lives are altered forever? Or it can be a hardship that stretches over months, years, and decades. So, in the New Testament, the Greek word for trial is this. You might want to write it down. The definition or the Greek word for trial is to prove by testing. And I want to get into that a little bit this morning with some substance, if you'll let me. To prove by testing. It's an event that demonstrates the genuineness of our faith in Christ, and it is the capacity of refining the quality of our spiritual life. There are several biblical terms for that word trial that are interchangeable, and I want to share some of those words with you this morning so that you don't think you're being taken before the Supreme Court and be put on trial, because that's our concept of trial. You go to court. You're sued and you go to court, or you go to court for some form of justice. I want to kind of bring some understanding to what that word might mean to us today in this hour, because there are different terms that are interchangeable for that word, and we should be aware of them. For instance, there's the word suffering. Suffering has to do with the experience of a measure of pain in our life. Could be emotional pain, could be physical pain, could be all kinds of suffering that we can go through. Secondly, hardships, or that which would be difficulty. For Central Florida and the East Coast right now, there's definitely some difficulty involved in their life, some hardship. Tribulation, let me use that word. That has to do with some severe hardships. And that is raising the bar when it comes to trials. There's the chastening. There's also the discipline of the Lord. That has to do with correction. It could also be interchanged with the word trial in our life. So when we use this word trial, I want you to think in terms of all of those terms, because that'll shed a little light on what you might be going through this very minute as you're gathered here in this place. So let's agree on one thing here this morning, shall we? The definition of a trial is a painful circumstance that is allowed by God to change our conduct and our character. That brings me to this important thing. There is a difference between your conduct and your character. Your conduct is what you do. Your character is who you are. Your character will quite often result in the choices you make in what you do. Trials are about what God wants to adjust in our life relative to the actions that we choose. And also, what He is working on in your character is to help you choose kingdom actions for your life. So, if you are one of God's children, how many think you are one of God's children? Okay, you know by now that if you don't lift your hand, maybe you're taking the safe path, okay? But I trust you are one of God's children. If you are one of His children, one of His kids, you're likely going through a trial right now. Take a deep breath. It's okay. You're not being taken to court. I got a summons to court. It came about a month ago. I have to go to court, Supreme Court, this Tuesday. You can pray for me. It was a pretty severe letter that summoned me to court. And if I don't show up, I'm subject to, you fill in the blanks, arrest. Why am I going to court on Tuesday? Well, some dude decided to break into this church, kick in some doors and break windows and steal a bunch of stuff. Now, based on his action, I got to go to court. It's nothing that I did. I just came to work one day and saw this place ravaged. So I don't want you to get the opinion that you're going to court here this morning. This isn't about being sued. This is about understanding what the issues are in our life, because every one of us in this place today is going through some stuff, right? We'll get to that. We'll figure it out. And so that's why I'm sharing this message with you. It's because you may need clarity with what's happening in your life today. Even more importantly, you never want to waste a trial or a moment to have to repeat it again in some other form. Because verse number 6 says, look what the scripture says, for the Lord, the Lord, chastens every son whom he receives. It didn't say there except you or me. He says every son, every daughter is going to come under the disciplines or the chastening of the Lord. So whether it's physical, now some of you are going through some physical challenges right now in your body. You can't figure it out. Why is this happening to me? Earlier this morning, I was visiting with my brother on the phone, and we were talking about some of the challenges that my father went through the year he died and was diagnosed with cancer. He wasn't willing to accept the diagnosis, and so he stretched the limits of what he could do. And the story is simply this. We all go through something in our life. It doesn't necessarily take the form of cancer. Some succumb to that. But I want you to know, sometimes we will go through physical challenges in our life. That is a trial. That is a hardship. That is something we have to work through. Relational challenges. Maybe some of you in this room, maybe as you and your spouse are not seeing things eye to eye, and you're working through some difficulties in that regard. You got some issues that are pressing in on you. Maybe you've got some wayward kids. Maybe you got some grandkids that aren't serving Jesus, and it's bothering you a great deal. And you're wondering, what's the deal? You've been praying for them. How come the answers are not coming to your prayers? Some of you might be going through some economic issues, money stuff. You spent more than you make, and now you got a problem. So how many know that can pose some stress on your life? There is emotional, there's circumstantial kinds of issues that we all face. It's one of the most important things going on in your life right now is sorting out the challenges, the hassles, the trials, the sufferings, the pain, the hardships that you're experiencing. It could even be one of the most difficult aspects of your life, because God is working out some things in your life, and he has to use these kinds of circumstances, because somehow, some way, it's the only thing that gets our attention. And God's a master at getting our attention. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7 also speaks to God's involvement in that which we're working through. Need to pause for a second and help you to understand that God is involved in your life. Sometimes Christians don't get that, but God is heartily involved in your life. As you're working through these things, it has not escaped his attention. Here's his instructions. My son, my daughter, do not regard lightly the disciplines of the Lord. So whenever God moves toward you to make changes in your conduct, in your character, don't take it lightly. Can I take a vote here this morning? How many like change? How many don't find change more difficult? Okay. Most of us. I think I would put myself in the latter category. I find it very difficult to change. Why do you say that, John? I'm a guy that kind of gets in a rut. You know what I mean? Things go, and I think I've got my ducks lined up, and then all of a sudden God comes, and how many know he kind of shakes us up a little bit? He upsets our fruit basket so that we don't get comfortable in ourselves. God's at work to change us. I remember a season when we were growing as a church. I just come here. I was a young whippersnapper. I come to pastor this church, and we felt God was moving us into expressive worship. And it was a little foreign to the congregation at that time, and we were desiring to, at least I was desiring, and the leaders of the house were desiring, some of the leaders in the house were desiring, to move into expressive worship. And I had a deacon's wife come to me one time, and she marched into my office, and she says, "I don't like what's happening in this church. All I hear from you is change, change, change. And I don't like this stuff that's happening in the church." And so I just called her by name, and I said, "You know, maybe this isn't the church for you." I just took the course, How to Win and Influence People. You know, God requires change of us. Change is a very difficult thing. Some find it easier to embrace or more adventuresome. Others may find it a little more challenging. God says, don't take it lightly. It's okay to do some heavy thinking, but do not be casual or indifferent about his approach in your life, whatever he wants to do to bring those adjustments. It's not a good time to say, I'm getting kind of weary of this. Oh, I don't think God really knows my limits. Always remember, no matter how or what painful hardship is yours right now, do not despise or regard it lightly. And secondly, don't ever question how the Lord is working in your life. And you need to know this, he is teaching you through the hardship. He is growing you through the hardship. Here's another aspect. When God is allowing something that makes life hard, remember the Lord disciplines the one that he loves. That's good news. If you're going through a disciplining process in your life, I want you to remember this, that God loves you, because he loves those that he disciplines. It's kind of like parental instruction. A child's desire is no guide for healthy growth. How many know kids will always choose ice cream over broccoli? Always. That's a for sure thing. And we're kids, spiritually speaking. And sometimes we choose ice cream over broccoli, and God says, no way. I want you to try some broccoli, some carrots. I've got other things that you need to be trying that you're not familiar with. So a loving and a wise parent knows their child will benefit from certain discomforts and, at times, even a measured amount of pain. I'm not going to go there. God's role is that of your Heavenly Father, right? He is our Heavenly Father. That means His role is more than a figurehead in our life. Who would rubber stamp your every action or desire? He's not your butler, church. He's not your butler. He's your Father. And as a father, He knows what's best for you. The Bible says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there his father does not discipline? So, keep it in mind. God loves you. And when He saved you, how many found that to be a glorious experience? When He saved you, He started a process that He will continue until the day that you get to heaven. Welcome to the journey. Philippians chapter 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation, then, was just the beginning of the journey. And today He's working in you through your trials, your hardships, those things that are bringing stress to you right now. God is working in and through that. That is for your good and for His glory. Wow. Can we embrace that? That's a big pill to swallow. Sometimes it gets stuck in your throat. I take a fistful of vitamins every day. I mean, I don't know how I ever got on this. I'm not really prone to this, if you were to come to me. But Sharon, how many know? Adam blamed Eve, okay? Adam said, it was the woman you gave me, right? Sharon decided I needed to go to a naturopathic doctor. Need I say much more? They did some tests on me, and they came to some conclusion that all the good food I was eating wasn't sufficient to supply my body with the nutrients that it needed. So they wanted to enhance my intake. Well, the bottom line is this. Morning, noon, and night. The morning's the biggest dosage, just about a handful of these vitamins. And they're good stuff. It's expensive, but it's good stuff. You know it's good because it's expensive, right? So I take these, and once in a while, one of these critters gets stuck in my throat. And it doesn't taste good in the throat. So I whiff down a ton of water. At the end of the day, I try to convince myself it's for my good. This message is for your good and for God's glory, all right? Let me give you some things that make sense of our trials. And I have to repeat it again this morning. You are going through stuff in your life. I'm going through stuff in my life. It might be stuff in your family. It might be stuff with your work, your job. It might be your relationships in the house of the Lord. How many know that can be a little stressful, especially when we think that's got to be the ultimate place for peace? So that can bring a measure of stress to you. You could be going through physical stuff, maybe like Bob, you've gone through, and the Abbott family, through the loss of a loved one. There's all kinds of stuff that we're going through. If I were to sit you down right now and you were honest with me, you would tell me what it is that's weighing on your heart right now. So how do we make sense of all this? Well, let me give you a few things that will, I hope, keep you on the path, keep you engaged, so that you can become a fruitful citizen in God's kingdom. How many aspire for that? You don't want to be a drone in the beehive. You want to be productive for the kingdom. Amen? Okay, here, this will help you to make some sense out of what you're going through. Number one, trials are difficult. Yes, there are difficult times in your life. As a Christian, I hate to break it to you, but you're going to have some difficult times in your life. This is, without question, for sure, going to happen. And it's not necessarily because you're sinning, but it could very well be, or it could also be for the fact that God loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you with where you're at. So he's got to bring on a problem or a difficulty. It's a strategy. Now, I didn't make up the strategy. So don't talk to me about the strategy. Take it up with God. But you got to know this. You're going to experience some difficult times in your life. Don't lose faith in the process. Number two, trials are allowed by God to change your conduct and your character. How many know, if you got a raunchy attitude, it's going to manifest itself in your relationship with people. And God's got to deal with that. Because as a kingdom citizen, you're representing him, not yourself. And he doesn't like your representation. So he's trying to work out some of these rough edges in your life. And so he allows things to grace you, can I put it that way? To change your character, which ultimately is going to affect your behavior. Good place to say amen. Number three, trials should affect our future choices. I remember the day that I put my hand on a hot burner. I tell you, it didn't happen again. That trial affected my choices for the rest of my life. And so God wants you to be a quick learner. And so that your future choices will keep you down the lane. How many know that, how many go bowling with kids under five? Bowling ball doesn't get down the lane, but maybe 10 feet. So what do? They put these guardrails up, right? That's how most of us should bowl, with guardrails. How many know God puts guardrails up in our life so that so that our choices will represent him. Fourthly, trials can be the discipline of the Lord. At the very least, God is making adjustments in your life. The question is, do you recognize it? Do you know how you recognize that God's making adjustments in your life? I hope you keep a diary. I do. I kind of keep stock of where I'm at. Then I go back maybe 5-10 years. I've got this diary thing that I've started in 1971. So I go back and I can check into my diary. It should reflect to me that there's been progress. How many know if I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, I'm not only a slow learner, but there's more stuff that's out of whack in me than just my thinking processes. So God wants us to realize that he's been making significant adjustments within us. Could be the discipline of the Lord. Trials next, prove that God loves us. I've said it a few times, because he loves those people that he disciplines. So if you have had a spanking from God, you know he loves you. He loves you. That should be your take-home thought. I got a spanking. Not God, what's wrong with you? No, I got a spanking. God loves me. I mean, that's good. That's good theology right there. Number six. God will never leave or forsake you in your trial, your hardship. I hope you've been praying for the folk in Florida and regions beyond. There are many brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through hardships. But through that hardship, how many know God was there before the storm? God was there in the middle of Eon, and he is there after. God is with us through the storms. And then, finally, trials will continue. I hate to break this to you, but I have to. These trials are going to continue until we meet Jesus, because none of us have arrived. There's only one solution, church, is buckle in your seatbelt. Could be some turbulence along the way. But how many know, when the plane finally lands in Seattle and you deboard, you know that you're safely in the hands of the Lord. So let me wrap up if I can. What can you identify this morning as a trial that you are going through right now? Is it a marital thing? Is it a physical thing? Is it a relational thing? Is it a family thing? What is it that you're working through? Is it a money matter thing? What's your deal? What is it that God is processing in your life? And how would you describe the lessons you've learned about God so far in this trial? Because quite likely the trial isn't over. Because what'll happen is when this trial is over, God's going to say, take a deep breath, because I got another one coming. Our prayer is, Lord, just space them out. Space them out so that I don't have to take this back to back. Always bear in mind, though, whatever you're going through, God is always faithful and true to his word. Here's what I want us to do this morning. In a few moments, the worship team is going to come. And I don't know where you are in the progression of your trial or your hardship. But I want us to get this point clear in our mind. After all, what the Lord is after in us right now is to draw closer to Him. That's all He wants from us, is to draw close to Him. He's your Father this morning. He just wants His kids to not get wrapped up in this thing called life to the point. I fail to see a loving Father existent within them who wants to change them so that they can become a demonstration of the love that He's demonstrated them to other people. And so that the kingdom will advance in Grace Harbor or wherever God gives us influence to the point that lives are changed for eternity. Can't help but think, Bob, that God brought you all the way from Southern California. That's a good place to be from, by the way. But God brought you all the way to the Pacific Northwest, if for no other reason, to demonstrate the kingdom to your brother in a fresh, new way. How many know it's about advancing the kingdom of God? It doesn't change the fact that you are His son or your daughter. He loves you, and He always will. Can you accept that this morning? Please stand to your feet with me, would you? I've asked this worship team just in the closing moments here, and if you need to go, you can go. But I just want us to just kind of gather around Father this morning. And look at your problem just a little differently. Embrace it in a manner that you recognize God's at work in your life. How He wants to demonstrate His power to you through that is up to Him, because He's our Father and He knows best. But I want us this morning, maybe if we could, just to draw nigh unto Him. So in the closing moment, let's just worship the Lord, shall we?
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.